Wow. How does a guy follow that? All right. Let's pray and then we'll dive in, okay? Father God, we just come to you humbly this morning. We just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for everybody who's gathered here today, God. We thank you for the youth and the testimonies that they shared, God. We just thank you for your love and your mercy always. I just pray that you come into this room today and you flood it with your love, God. We just thank you and we praise you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, this weekend was all about focus. Focus. And in order to focus, you have to surrender. And if you don't surrender, then you're not focused, okay? So today's message here is surrender or committed. Are you surrendered or are you committed? And that's tough to hear. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we're just committed. You know, we go to church because we have to. It's a Sunday morning. Our parents make us, or, you know, it's just something we feel like we have to do. But a surrendered Christian does it because God calls them to do it, because God loves them enough to send them to church so they could worship and they can feed to other people. So a surrendered life is a focused life. When you surrender, you realize that the things you go through are out of your control. You know, they're not for you to handle. They're for God to handle. They're not yours. They're God's. So when God takes those away from you, when you surrender, he gives you this mindset of focus. And with that new mindset, you're able to go and you're able to read and you're able to study God's word and to preach to people. So I want to put this first verse up here, Philippians 4:8. This was the theme verse for our conference. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, I don't know about you, but that verse right there just speaks focus into existence. He tells you what to focus on, and he tells you how to focus on it. When we focus, we need to focus on those key words right there. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. True is God's word. When we focus on what is true, we're focusing on God's word. When we focus on what is honorable, we focus on God's laws. You know, we focus on what God has done for us. Pure is God's promises, what God has promised to us. His promises are pure and they're right and they're just. Lovely is God's creations. We got to focus on what's lovely, what God has created, the nature around us, the people around us. And what is admirable is God himself, the creator, the master. Okay, the last sentence in that verse can be summed up like this. Think about what God has done for your life and will continue to do for your life. Think about what he's done and praise him for it. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to a committed life. A committed life is a very distracted life. A committed life leaves loopholes and room for the devil to seek you where you're vulnerable. This next verse, Ephesians 4:14, is a verse that touches on that. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. That right there is what a committed life is. You're tossed and you're blown by the wind. You're easily distracted. The devil steps his foot in there and he takes over when we're only committed. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. That verse right there, we could compare it to another one. Hold every thought captive. Take those thoughts captive that the devil puts in your mind. The ones that don't seem right, the ones that make you feel bad about yourself, and the ones that bring that temptation back, hold them captive and give them to God. When we as Christians are only committed to God, we are more vulnerable to an attack by Satan. The devil will take any chance he can get. You know, the Bible says, even if we resist when we're committed, the devil will come back with seven more stronger, and he will fight for our life. But when we're surrendered, there is no life to be fought for because God already owns it. It's already in God's hands, so you don't have to worry about the devil trying to take your life. He's going to try, but he can't succeed because your life already belongs to the Creator. All right. Committed means I have to or I feel obligated to. You know, we've already discussed that. You know, when you're committed, you're just easily blown. A commitment can be backed out of. A commitment is something we don't make a promise to. You know, we can commit to going to the cookout next Sunday, but we can easily back out of that. Something else could come up, and we're not surrendered to it. But when we surrender to God, we'll go to that cookout because God says to. You know? The devil thrives in a committed life. He's there always. He's always seeking out. He's in this building right now trying to get those who are just committed to God. The ones who are, like, you know, on the fence. So that's why it's important to surrender. Surrender's not easy. It's not. You know, it's like, God, I'm going to give you all control. Everything I have is yours. That's what surrender is. And I know a lot of us like to have control, you know, especially me. You know, I like to be the boss, you know. That's me. Yeah, Big Al. I tell you what to do, when to do it, where to do it. You know what I'm saying? But that was hard for me to learn, that when I surrendered, I didn't have to worry about those things anymore. I didn't have to worry about, you know, how I'm going to make the next paycheck or if I'm going to be able to get school done on time. You know, I'm young, so I still got to worry about that. But when I surrendered, I didn't have to focus on those things anymore because I already knew God was there ahead of me. He went before me and he set that path up. So now I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next hour because God's already there because I surrendered to him. When you're only committed, you have to worry. You're always constantly thinking about what's going to happen next. What am I going to do? Because you don't trust. You don't trust what the Father has promised you. In a committed life, you're controlled by the things of this world. The things of this world easily grab your attention and they drive you. They keep you going, like work and you know, paying bills and, you know, going to church. You're so focused on the things of this world that if you would have just gave God control, you wouldn't have to worry about those things anymore. When you surrender your life, the devil can try, but he will not succeed. The devil can try, but he will not succeed. God has already set a path before you, and he is already there. So here comes the conviction part. I know that's everybody's favorite part. But there comes a time in your life when you're going to have to choose if you're surrendered or you're committed. If you're going to give it to God or you're going to give it to the world. So in this next verse, James 4, 7 through 10, God explains why it's important to be a surrendered Christian. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. That's surrender right there. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. That was tough to read. That's, you know, just sitting there, can you go back real fast? That's tough to read. Wash your hands, you sinners. That makes me feel good. Purify your hearts. Uh-oh. For your loyalty is divided. How easy is it for us to get distracted and have our loyalty on both sides of the playing field? You know, I serve God, yeah, sure. But when you're at work, you don't even bring his name up. Or you're at school and you don't even say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You don't live like it. Between God and the world. That's tough. All right. Keep going. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be a sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. You know, at the conference, we saw that Thursday night. We saw the tears. We saw the sorrow and the grief. And we saw the sadness. You know, everybody was broken in their own way. But when Steve and Josh gave the message, they were able to hear what God was saying to them. And they were able to lay down all that sorrow and all that pain. And they were to pick up the joy and the happiness and the surrender that they needed. Keep going. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. That right there, surrender. Humble simply means submission. submit yourself to God, and He will lift you up in praise and in honor. When we surrender, we're constantly humbling ourselves, and we're constantly trying to be the best person we can be for God. And when that happens, God will lift us up in honor. I like to say it this way. Jesus is like a SWAT team. He breaks down the barriers, and He surrounds us with love. When we surrender ourselves, God comes in there, knocks down that door, and He says, "Look, I'm here. I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you all the love, the hope you need." All right. So, I know it wasn't very long, but I have a challenge for you guys, okay? This is it to take into the next week, to take into your lives for the rest of your life. Are you surrendered or are you committed? My prayer is that you guys don't just go through life because you have to. Go through life because God has a promise for you and God has a purpose for your life. God has already laid the path before you. So humble yourselves, surrender yourselves, and God will take care of everything. All right. Should I bow or what?
Be humble.
Yeah, right? My bad. My biggest weakness.
You know, he makes a very valid point. I want you to grab that and hold on to it. You know, submitted and committed is two totally different things. Surrendered and submitted, totally different than committed. Mm-hmm. Committed is when you're saying, "I'll do it if I want to do it." Surrendered is saying, "I'll do it because you said to do it." Submitted says, I will give because you have given so much. I will give because you've called on me to give. I will love because you've loved me so much. And I will love because you've called me to love. Committed says, well, I will give if they give first. And committed says, well, I'll love only if they're lovable. Meaning I am in control when I'm committed. But I surrender control when I'm submitted to God. And you know what the problem with our churches are? Is we have a lot of committed people. And we have very few totally surrendered people. You know, I love that challenge. You know, I think in our lives, we need to come to a place where we kind of throw up our white flag and say, "God, I can't do this anymore. And God, I can't do this without you. I need you." So I don't know where you're at, but I know that God is speaking today. You know, I've heard so many of these teenagers stand here and say, "I laid this down. I laid this down." But you know what I like about this conference? They ended their statements with, "But I picked this up." You know, there's a difference in laying something down and then walking back to your seat, and before you get to your seat, already having picked back up what you've laid down. See, I'm going to say this. If you're going to surrender something to Jesus Christ, then you better take up Christ in your life. And if you're going to surrender to the will of God, then you better take up the armor of God in your life and say, "Okay, you know what? I'm not just going to lay myself down. I'm going to rise up in Jesus' name." And I'm not going to say, "Okay, I'm going to get rid of my sadness." I'm going to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to get rid of my sadness and I'm going to replace it with your joy. I'm going to replace it with an attitude of gratitude, serving you and following you in everything that we do." Now, I'm going to say this and then we're going to close the service. Number one, I'm super, super proud of these teenagers today. I really am. It does my heart some joy. Number two, do you know the amount of courage it takes for a 17-year-old boy to be able to stand up here and do that? You know, and I'm thankful for that. But number three, and the most important of all, I stand in awe, and I shouldn't. I stand in awe at the fact that, man, God's word does work. And what He said actually proves true when applied to our lives. We shouldn't be in awe of that. We should just know that. We shouldn't have these moments where we stand back and say, oh man, God, I just realized you're good. No, God's good all the time. And we shouldn't have these moments that we come in to praise. No, we should praise Him all the time. And so I'm thankful and I hope today that you'll leave with a different focus. I mean, I wonder what would have happened today if I came in and I told the teenagers, you stay in your seats. I'm going to ask your mom and dads to come on the stage and I'm going to ask them to testify about Jesus. I'm going to ask them to tell what God has done in their lives today. Would we as adults been able to praise or to worship the way that they were able to today based on how we've spent the last 3 days with God? Yes, sir. I mean, that's a convicting thought. You know what I love is not only does God give every generation opportunity, but His love keeps renewing for every new generation. And I say it this way, if we who are this age and above do not stand and testify of Him, then let's step back and allow those maybe younger, those maybe extremely older, stand and testify to His name. And let's see generation after generation rise up with one focus, and that is Jesus Christ, and saying, God, I love you, and because I love you, I am going to make you known by my life. So I pray that you will continue in prayer for these teenagers, but even greater, I pray that you will mimic what you've seen them do today. Be bold. Be courageous. Will you stand with me and grab somebody's hand? All right. We're going to close. All right. So does this have to do with this service? Okay, I'll tell them after we pray then, okay? All right? Let's pray real quick, and then after that, I want to give you a little update on Lisa, all right? So, by the way, Lisa's been missing for what, 2 weeks now? 3 weeks now. It's good to have her back, wouldn't you agree with that? All right, so we're glad she's here. All right? I know we got Billy Haynes. Many of you, we call him Pappy around here. You want to come by and see him, so come by and spend some time. But let's pray together. All right, and continue to pray for Lisa. She's got some kidney stones, some surgeries coming up. They're going to do both surgeries at the same time, which is a blessing. So would you continue to pray for that? All right, let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. And God, I pray that you will take what you've represented in this service through these teenagers and carry it over as the next 200 walk through the door today. As these empty out, God, and those that are coming to that 11 o'clock service, may there be a renewed spirit. May they experience the joys that we've been able to experience as we heard these teenagers testify and praise and worship you. God, we lift up those that are sick. We do thank you that Billy and Lisa are able to be here today. And God, I pray that you'll continue to strengthen their lives. And I pray that you'll be with Lisa this week through her surgeries. And God, I pray that in all this, that your power will be shown. God, we need a generation of worshipers. God, generation not having an age gap or a social gap or a race gap, but just a people that are alive, not just in this world, but in you, letting you live through them, letting you testify through them, and letting your power flow through them. God, I pray that your church will come alive, that we'll see a renewed focus and a renewed heart as we pursue you with all our being. We praise you and we worship you today. You're worthy of that praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.